All right. Welcome, everybody, to the City of Melbourne. It's our Future Melbourne Committee meeting, and it's meeting number 63 on Tuesday, the 3rd of September 2019, and I'm pleased to declare the meeting open at 5:30. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public. Thank you for attending this evening. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we gather, the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for events of social, cultural, sporting and educational significance. Today, we are proud to say that Melbourne is still a significant gathering place for people of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander backgrounds. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that this meeting is being streamed live, and inadvertently, we may get your image caught on the live streaming. So please take this as notice that your image may be streaming through our City of Melbourne website as part of this program this evening. We will also have an audio and video recording of this meeting available on our City of Melbourne website as soon as practicable tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be available from the City of Melbourne's website tomorrow. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of this business, this meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please don't hesitate to ask a question to our council business team when we close the meeting this evening. Thanks, Kate, for putting your hand up. I request everybody to check their mobile phones, please, to make sure that they are off or they're turned to silent so they do not disturb the conduct of this meeting. The agenda this evening comprises two reports from management. We have no apologies, all councillors present and accounted for. Thank you, councillors. I advise members of the committee and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour of it, the decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. Councillors, at this point I'm going to note that if you have either a direct or an indirect interest in any item to be considered this evening, could you please disclose the type and nature of that interest prior to consideration of the item? We now get into business. First item is confirmation of minutes of previous meeting, and I'm calling on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 62. It was held on Tuesday, the 20th of August. Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. A councillor to second, Councillor Pinder. Thank you. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's unanimous, so I declare the motion carried. Thank you, councillors. Were there any matters arising from those minutes that you wish to discuss at this time? There were none. Thank you. Well, this evening we've received the following submissions in relation to our agenda, and so under the Council's Meeting Procedures Code, I'm going to read them out. In relation to agenda item 6.1, which is the Ministerial Planning Referral, TPM-2019-6, which is 645 to 681 Elizabeth Street, Melbourne. We've received requests to speak from Vince Giuliano, who is the founder and CEO of PDG Corporation, and Philip Rowe, who is joining us from Cox Architecture. In relation to that item, we have also received items of correspondence from Vince Giuliano and Philip Rowe. In relation to agenda item 6.2, which is Ministerial Planning Referral TPM 2019-4, which is 102 to 108 Jeffcott Street, 355 to 369 and 371 to 383 Spencer Street, West Melbourne, we've had a request to speak from Vaughan Connor from Contour, and also an item of correspondence from Vaughan Connor. So, submitters, I am just giving you the rules of proceedings this evening. You will be invited to address the committee at the time of the relevant agenda item. We ask you to keep your presentations to 3 minutes, please, and to support you in keeping to the timeframes. We have this clock on the wall and it counts down and it beeps at 2 minutes to let you know you've got 1 minute left, and then it beeps again at the end of the 3 minutes. And if you could wrap up your presentation at that time, that would be most appreciated. Thank you. We're going to public questions at the start and at the end of every meeting. We allow 15 minutes for public questions, and we welcome those questions. We do ask, though, that they are genuine questions, that they're not a way of making a submission about a matter, but they are the opportunity for you to ask a question that you're interested in. If the questions could please take no longer than 90 seconds in duration, that would be fantastic. And we'll do our best to answer the questions this evening, or we can take them on notice and come back to you at a later time with the detail. So I'm asking now if there are members of the public with questions to please raise your hands. We'll get your names and then we'll ask you to come up one by one. So if you could just indicate whether you have a question this evening, that would be fabulous. Anyone? We've got 15 minutes at the end if you change your mind. So we'll keep moving forward with our meeting. Thank you. The next item on the agenda, welcome, Chris, is reports from management, and I get to call on Councillor Rees, who is the chair of the planning portfolio, to assume the chair of the meeting. Thank you, Councillor Rees.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor, and delighted to be able to say that there are two reports from management for consideration under the planning portfolio this evening, together adding up to more than $200 million of proposed development in the city. So planning portfolio is back and humming at the City of Melbourne, I'm pleased to report, after a sort of quiet period. First item for consideration is Agenda Item 6.1, which is Ministerial Planning Referral TPM 2019-6 for the property 645 to 681 Elizabeth Street, Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? I think earlier today there was some sense that there was a desire for that, so I'd call on Evan Council, leading statutory planner here at the City, to present on this from the City of Melbourne officer's perspective.
Thank you, Councillor Rees, and through you. As been stated, this is a ministerial planning referral that has been referred to the City of Melbourne for comment. Is this not going to work? Not working. Thanks. The site's located between Elizabeth Street and O'Connell Street. I'm just south of the Haymarket roundabout, within the Parkville National Employment Innovation Cluster, which is identified within Plan Melbourne and the Melbourne Planning Scheme. This is an aerial image showing the broader site. Notably, this application relates to the site identified in the red line. The heritage buildings to the bottom of the screen formed part of a previous approval, an approval by HV and the City of, Heritage Victoria and the City of Melbourne. And as part of this proposal, there's also Stage 3, which is the northern smaller site to the roundabout proper as well. You can see that represented here again. You can see in plan form and also in elevation form the existing approval there on the left highlighted in blue, the application before us this evening highlighted in red, and a future stage highlighted in green. The ground floor plan shows a very active frontage, as well as a primary entrance to the research and development facility along Elizabeth Street, as well as a generous and completion of the second half of the through-block link, which will be on the left-hand side of the screen in the south of the site, as well as predominantly services access for loading and other arrangements for the operations of the research and development facility along O'Connell Street. As we move up the building, some general floor plates with the core located on the western edge of the site. Again, a general floor plate with also some plant area. Similar as we move up the building, and typical floor plates from 4 to 11 there, represented in tower form, a top level 16 followed by a roof plant area. The next slide shows a render of the image looking of the proposal looking from Elizabeth Street. You start to get an appreciation of the scale of the building that we're considering this evening. Notably, there is an existing approval across this site, which is represented as stage two, as well as stage one, which is represented on the left-hand side of the screen. The original approval had a taller built form on stage one above the heritage buildings, which has now been reduced in size and scale. The size and scale of this proposal for CSL and research development facility is increased in height. The height of the overall building is at 76 approximate metres, with an additional 10 metres of plant on top of that, taking a total height to 86 metres. And notably, the plant area has been designed into the building, so it doesn't appear as a incongruous cap to the building. It's been well designed within to the architecture of the building. The main entrance to the main facility there, also highlighting a strong podium treatment and very articulated framing and use of materials there. Next slide. And the entrance to the laneway from Elizabeth Street as well, completing that first stage and what will be a future publicly accessible through block link. That completes the presentation, but I might just touch on the probably the most prevalent aspect of what's being considered tonight, which is the departure from the built form control of preferred 60 metres to a building height of 75 with additional 10 metres of plant. Contextually, there's been 75 odd metres approved on the Jobs Australia site previously around the Haymarket roundabout, and we also have to keep in mind that what the planning scheme requires of council as the responsible authority in terms of integrated decision making, which means balancing all things within the planning scheme. It's fair to say that we wouldn't usually be supportive or recommending support of a building of this scale if the use was not so strategically supported within both Plan Melbourne, the planning scheme in terms of state-level policy, as well as the MSS. So in that sense, we've tried to approach what is a very sophisticated decision-making process and an innovative use of planning conditions in trying to make sure that with the approval we're not setting a precedent in terms of what type of building height would be expected within this precinct. Where another development might come forward of a residential or student accommodation type nature, the support here is really predicated on the strategic land use being of the highest order in this location, around the Haymarket area, where the tallest built form in this precinct is also anticipated as well and most appropriately located. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you for that, Evan. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Evan. Great presentation. You mentioned stage one has some heights come off that. Can you confirm how much has come off stage one?
I'm told approximately 15 metres. There was also some shifting and additional setbacks. It's fair to say, and if we refer back to the previous consideration above that Melford Motors building, a much better heritage outcome and a fairly large loss of yield which has been redistributed into stage two.
Well, that's where I was going, so thanks very much.
Thank you. Any other questions from... Councillor Pinder.
Evan, could you just clarify for me the ownership of... Toyota owns the land. Are we aware of you know, and how long will CSL occupy the building for?
It might be best. I know that the applicants are planning on speaking, particularly because you're talking about tenancy. Land ownership's noted within the report on the front page, but I might leave the applicant to just give more detailed info on those matters.
All right, thanks.
Any further questions? No, I don't think so. Thank you, Evan, for a very, very comprehensive presentation. I'll now call on Vince Giuliano from PDG, who represented... Sure, yep, we can do that. So, Philip Rowe from Cox Architects, welcome back to Town Hall. I think you know the drill. You have no more than 3 minutes to present to us.
Can I, just before that starts, can I just make sure this works? No, it doesn't. Is it okay if I just... Thank you. Thanks, Evan, for the great presentation.
Welcome, Philip.
Thanks for the great presentation by Evan. Evan's kind of taken the wind out of the sails to some degree because I'll be presenting, I think, pretty much the same stuff. But thank you, Lord Mayor and councillors, for the opportunity. Today, look, we'll be talking the importance of this site. This is head of CSL Global. It's a very important strategic site into this precinct, the biomedical precinct. I think we all understand that. What I'll try and explain is the values of the design and the site integration and also the details of the design response. The precinct, biomedical precinct, we understand the value of obviously the medical precinct to the north, Melbourne University and its research and development opportunities it has, and particularly what this means as a substantial R&D component as an address and almost the entrance into the city from the north and what it says about Melbourne. Next. In terms of the strategic gateway at an urban level, there's been a lot of conversations around this as a gateway to some degree, and in its previous life and its previous permit, this was particularly focused around student housing. And I think what a great outcome this is to have something like a research and development of the quality of CSL and what this means as the address to the City of Melbourne. Next. Here is the previous permit, as we talked about, and we've talked about the levels, etc., but primarily I think the move and the transition from student housing to what it is now as a research development hub I think is fantastic for the CBD and also for the precinct. Next. Key principles and the way that we started the conversation around what this would be, innovation and education hub, the green spine, continuing that down through Elizabeth Street is important to have that quality of environment, particularly at ground level. The idea of bringing the city in, creating public space at the ground level, that first 25 metres of this building, we put a lot of focus on in creating permeability and activity, particularly creating a permeable piece through the centre of the site, and that idea of social network and the third spaces for a destination. The active ground plan, what's important here is about placemaking. So there's four key components here. What we'd say is the town square is a destination point, that idea of high quality espresso bars and third spaces, a working lobby that is interactive and connected, and that idea of a public forum space that is R&D. That idea of the first 25 metres, permeable, active and I think from that town square space in the centre creates a real destination point, particularly for this building and this precinct, but further beyond too. The building forms are in the same family but have different textures, and the personality and diversity we think is very important. Next. And importantly, focus on that placemaking and town square as a real destination and hub for the city. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Are there any questions for Philip, Deputy Lord Mayor?
Yeah, well, when we're considering such significant developments as this, so fantastic to have CSL coming to this site. Philip, I was interested to note, just on the green spine component, there's a green factor tool which the industry is developing alongside of City of Melbourne, and if you look at the Victorian Comprehensive Cancer Centre, they've got that fantastic green rooftop with deep planting on it. Is there any opportunity to sort of reconsider the opportunity for green roofs, walls and facades as part of this development to truly make it a green spine? Because at the moment what I see of the green spine is a large part of the green spine is public trees, which are City of Melbourne trees.
Yeah, and good point, but at the same time, we want to make sure we protect them and allow that to happen. And also, I'd say, within that town square and that public space, the idea of green being a component of it and drawing the language of the trees into that central space in the town square is also important. Also, each terrace that we're talking about has green edges to it. In terms of it being, if it's about heat seek and reducing the heat load onto the buildings itself, we haven't had that specific conversation with the City of Melbourne, but an opportunity in conversation could be held. But at the moment, we're saying what is the best workplace outcome for its program and where we sit. That's where we sit at the moment.
I'm happy for you to take this on notice, but would you be happy to run the green factor tool over this proposal?
To some degree, we are looking at that within the podium facades particularly, because we think that's where you get the greatest value. As you go up through to the building, it takes more effort to do that, and the building itself is more focused around its facade and articulation and texture and controlling heat load. But I'll take it on notice, if that's okay.
Please, Councillor Pinder.
Philip, you may not be able to answer this, but the same question as before, Vince might have to. The ownership, I'm just wanting to clarify in my mind, I know it's Toyota Land and CSL using it, but who? How long is the tenancy?
I think it's all very positive. I think I'm pretty sure Vince will resolve that question.
Oh, is he speaking as well?
Yes.
Are you going to speak, Vince? Yeah? Okay, great.
I've got a question for you, Philip. First of all, can I say congratulations on the design? I think it's very elegant. And, you know, if only we got to consider more buildings around Melbourne with this sort of just exceptional level of design. My question goes to the stages 1, 2, and 3 of the development. Obviously, this is a very large block in City North, and there is a laneway that you've designed in between stage 1 and stage 2. When you look at the drawings for future stages for stage 3, and Vince, you can feel free to answer this one if you're better placed to, it appears that there is a laneway that is envisaged to be factored in between stage 2 and stage 3 as you head north up Elizabeth Street. From a design perspective, is that something that you're intending to include when stage 3 inevitably comes before us?
The first conversation that we had with the city is, of course, the ability to create the permeability along such a large block. So, yes, stage 3 has a zone there that creates another level of permeability through to the other side, and that's the aim.
Great. Yeah, it goes to the question of permeability and creating those through block links to make it as pedestrian-friendly as possible.
Absolutely.
Any further questions for Philip? All right. Thank you very much, thank Philip. I now call on Vince Giuliani from PDG, who requested the opportunity to address us.
I invite you to speak for no more than three minutes, Vince.
No worries.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Good evening, the Honourable Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor and councillors and members of the public. PDG is invested in the future of Melbourne. We believe in creating developments that enhance communities and also add lasting value to local landscape. Over the past 15 months, we have met with council and DELP officers, resulting in a number of modifications and changes to the application before you. We acknowledge your recommendations and aim to work with the City of Melbourne to review the conditions and wordings, ensuring that the approval will not compromise our current application. We are committed to commencing construction immediately to ensure that we can meet CSL's timeframe to deliver the essential global headquarters featuring the latest technology in biochemistry. Our vision for Elizabeth North is to be a groundbreaking and innovative addition to Victoria's biomedical precinct. This project will contribute to Victoria's long-term investment in leading healthcare advances, as well as being a significant stimulus for economic growth and employment. This development aligns with the State Government and City of Melbourne's 10-year strategic plan for the Melbourne Biomedical Precinct. Not only will Elizabeth North help position the precinct as a leader in knowledge-based industries, it will elevate its global presence. CSL is a world leader of biotechnology and biotherapy and the third largest ASX-listed company in Australia. Relocating from their current location to Elizabeth North will result in the company joining the existing health precinct, which is where they started over 100 years ago. CSL has influential relationships with many of the surrounding institutions. The close proximity will enhance their ability to nurture long-term collaboration within the biomedical precinct. The purpose-built headquarters will have the ability for future expansions, and this strategic site is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to enhance Melbourne and Victoria's biomedical precinct to be at the forefront of innovation, technology, medical research and development. Elizabeth North will create an environment that will attract the brightest minds in Australia and around the world to do work on groundbreaking medical developments right here in our city. In conclusion, I ask that you please consider our application as submitted to ensure PDG can bring this strategic and innovative vision to life. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vince. Any questions for Vince? Councillor Pinder.
For a third time. Hi, Vince. The duration of CSL's tenancy. What would that be?
An initial term of 20 years with a 40-year option.
Okay.
So 60 years in total.
Right.
And Vince, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Philip. With stage 3 coming on, it's a very big block. You've got one lane that you're building in, three-block link you're building in as part of moving from stage one to stage two. Is it your intention that there'll be another three-block link before stage three so that we get that permeability and hopefully then that pedestrian movement through this block?
Councillor Rees, we took Evan's advice on board and we are putting an arcade through stage three. So that there'll be the open laneway between stages one and two and then an arcade through stage three.
All right, I think that's very important. Very pleased to hear that. Any other questions for Vince?
Just to answer Councillor Pinder's question earlier, we have settled the property, so we now own the property. And we settled at the end of July. Yeah. And Toyota is leasing a component of it it's a 50-year lease.
All right, thank you very much, Vince.
Thank you.
And if you could just turn that microphone off up there before you resume your seat, or if Keith, you could assist with that, that would be great. All right, well, as Chair of Planning, I'm happy to move a motion, which is now appearing up on the screen, and I'm looking for a councillor to second it, and I'm delighted that Councillor Leppett is seconding that. I'll speak briefly in support of the motion. Look, this is a $140 million R&D centre in the very heart of Melbourne's biomedical precinct. It's been, I think, elegantly designed by Cox Architects. I think it's going to make an absolutely fantastic addition to that part of the city. Of course, we know that one of the tenants, or the tenant going in there, hopefully for 60 years as Vince anticipated, is going to be a CSL. And there really are few companies that have ever come out of Melbourne which is as globally famous as CSL. Probably BHP would be the only other company that would be in that league. And as you said, I think CSL in the last couple of days has become the third biggest company listed on the Australian Stock Exchange, which is quite a remarkable thing given CSL, or the Commonwealth Serum Laboratories, was first started in 1916, and in a great act of vision, something I'd hope we'd see repeated more often today, the Commonwealth Government decided to locate it not in Canberra, but in Melbourne, because they wanted the Commonwealth Serum Laboratories to be located close to the medical precincts and the people of Australia. CSL was obviously set up to assist Australia in the First World War, manufacturing serums and later penicillin, insulin for soldiers and the Australian people. And they've had an extraordinary journey as a company and now being a genuine world leader out of Melbourne. Having said that, there are obviously planning and design controls over this part of the city. This is Capital City Zone Schedule 5, Development Design Overlay 61, City North applies to this area. And in terms of the controls that do apply, it's fair to say that this development does not strictly comply with the preferred height and setbacks. However, I think it also needs to be said that and as Evan, I think, outlined very well, the land use that is proposed here, being an R&D centre, means that it will make a very, very significant contribution to what has been designated by the Commonwealth of Australia as a national employment and innovation cluster. So this is a nationally significant area of economic activity for Australia, and this R&D centre will provide a very, very important boost to that. And that, of course, provides a huge community benefit. And so all things considered, or as Evan and the planners like to say, an example of integrated decision-making, which means weighing everything up, this proposal that is before us is a reasonable response to the relevant policies and provisions in the Melbourne planning scheme. I should just flag that I think there are some important conditions that are listed in the report and which we are supporting through this motion. The first is that PDG are bound to maintain this site for R&D use. So we as councillors can know that this site will be used and this development will be used for this use, and if there's a if for some reason that changes before development is complete, then the development itself, the development support will lapse. The second important condition I think that is in there is around the facade strategy. And so, Philip, I'm looking forward to the team here at the City of Melbourne continuing to work with you around the facade strategy. As I said, I think it's an absolutely exemplary design that you've come up with here, but we do want to see more detail to ensure that the ground level interfaces and that publicly accessible lane that we've talked about quite a bit already is really well resolved. I mean, we really want to see this as one of the classiest parts of the city, where people from all around the world are coming to Melbourne to be part of this biomedical precinct. So it's absolutely important that we get it right at the street level. So we want to continue working with you to finalise that. Finally, I did note that the pictures that we saw in the presentations had the CSL sign featuring in the proposal, but when actually you go through the detail of the submission, this doesn't actually include a submission for a CSL sign. Now, I do spend a lot of my time in this portfolio having to work with people who often want to put up signs which are too big, making too much of a statement, particularly monstrous video screens and other things. But in this case, I've got to say, I would really welcome an application by CSL to put a sign on the top of their building to display loud and proud in Melbourne and to anyone who visits our city that when they travel down Elizabeth Street or up Elizabeth Street into Parkville, that they are entering a world-leading biomedical precinct. And CSL is there as a, you know, corporate success story, an organisational success story. And I think that will be a magnet to other organisations from around the world to come to that precinct. So I would strongly encourage CSL to put in a submission to us for signage, just as was envisaged in those architectural drawings that we saw. On that note, I think I'll be quiet and hand over to Rohan Leppert.
Thanks, Chair. Subject, of course, to a proper planning application and assessment against our signage policy.
Goes unsaid, Councillor.
I won't preempt that debate. I'm happy to support this as well for the reasons that have been set out, so I won't take too long here. We're supporting this not because it's CSL, but obviously the great benefit for having CSL in this location is undisputed. The conditions around use, just to maintain the use's R&D, and this is the main reason being cited for justifying the additional height. And I think that's important because this is a world-class biomedical and research and development precinct, and we want it to remain that way. All of our policies talk about this precinct in those terms, and that's what we hold sacrosanct. Now, CSL is going to add to that immeasurably. But it's important that the condition is not around the individual tenant or owner, it's around the use, because that's what's justifying what in other circumstances mightn't necessarily get our support for the additional development potential. That said, the reduction of development potential on stage one, giving the heritage building a little bit more space, is also an additional benefit by way of agreeing with this permit. And I welcome that, we are on the record in this place agreeing to a particular height limit, preferring a particular cap of an extra 30% or so, which the Minister didn't agree to at the time. So we are assessing this application not under our originally preferred rules, but of course against the Melbourne Planning Scheme as it exists, which is the only thing we can assess an application against. But we do need to justify the particular extra development potential. We'll have an interesting example of that in the next agenda item as well. But I think we should, because this is a very high quality design. It's a very it's a good quality sustainable design as well, and the sustainability reports that have come through My understanding is that they're positive. And of course, it's going to contribute significantly to research and development in this world-class precinct. And so on that basis, we should support it.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Any further speakers for or against the motion on the screen? Councillor Watts.
It seems to me to be a winner for us all, this particular project. I'm thrilled to have such a research-centred asset being built in our city. I'm thrilled too that CSL is going to be so secure a tenant, for want of a better word, for so long. I'm mindful that in order for us to retain the kind of research talent required for such a significant district, we need to have the design spaces in which that they can work most productively, and it seems that you're doing that. But now I'd like to say that also, perhaps I should be speaking to CSL rather than the developer. I think it's very important that the history of this particular organisation, CSL, be properly noted in this building. I'm mindful that just last week in London, I came across a wonderful series of photographic images of academics and researchers attached to the King's College there, highlighting the brain power that had been generated within that particular precinct of the City of London. It would be quite nice to have such a site devoted to the historic significance and especially the people who created the science and worked on these marvellous breakthroughs. So just to alert you to my aspiration for your building, and I congratulate you.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. I think all of us strong views on this project, not least of which is an understanding, as already has been pointed out, is that it's outside the normal planning framework. So there's been a lot of discussion on this project. I know that it's an integrated planning approach that you mentioned, Councillor Rees, but I think echoing some of Councillor Watts's comments, this project really is an integration of so many of the strategic objectives that we have as a city. It's purpose-built for that reason. The binding of the use to the land is very important in terms of the ambitions we all have for this precinct, reflecting the investment to date in this precinct, in the investment that we want to keep making, not just in the physical form so that we can attract and retain these types of businesses, but also for jobs and jobs of the future. And this is very much what this building represents for us. We don't have many unicorns in Australia, but CSL is certainly one of them. And if we can maintain a large footprint for them in our city, and we can be inspired by and have other businesses grow as a result of their presence, and now their very obvious presence in their city, then I think that's a brilliant thing, signage or no signage, but that's going to be absolutely fantastic. The economy of Melbourne has transitioned significantly over the last 30 years, from manufacturing to now predominantly what we call the knowledge economy. 65% of our workers and almost two-thirds of the $95 billion economy within the City of Melbourne is generated through this industry. And so this project certainly represents an investment of different sorts, but right across all of the stakeholders in an aspect of our economy and community that's very important to us. And for those reasons, as well as the others mentioned tonight, I'm happy to support it.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Oak.
I go to a different aspect of the conditions on the permit. I agree with everything that has been said and support for particularly the use of this site. I'm going into the other conditions around the construction management plan and the traffic management plan. That particular location where I catch a bus most days is you know, the Haymarket intersection is a beast, and knowing that, particularly with the increased use, so there's the traffic management plan needs to be really looking at the safety of the people, at, you know, going to the building, but also the existing uses around it. But with the construction management plan being really mindful, it is so busy, and there's been a whole lot of other buildings that have just been recently constructed that have, you know, tended to close off most of Peel Street. So, I mean, it goes without saying, but they're noted as conditions, and I'm just noting publicly my interest in making sure that the, you know, attention to detail with respect to the construction management, and making sure that particularly safety around pedestrians and cyclists are taken into consideration. But, you know, hopefully it's a positive influence to that particular area. I think Haymarket probably needs to be, it will be redesigned again in the not too distant future, and I think that you can probably influence that being, you know, a lot more safe than it is at the moment.
Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Vincent and Philip, again, for your presentations. I think we're in furious agreement about CSL, you know, coming to this site. It's absolutely fantastic. It's one of the absolute key industries, and the biomedical industry here is world-renowned. People come from all over the world just to work in this industry. Indeed, it's one of the clusters that a lot of other clusters now model themselves on. They want to, their aspiration is to be like the biomedical cluster. So I too want to sort of get down to some of the detail, because I think, you know, us welcoming CSL and the quality of this development aren't in any question whatsoever. I'm also really comfortable with the fact that this has been sort of considered as a whole site, and also the additional height in trade-off for the benefits that will bring, but also the lowering of the height on site one, I think is a really excellent outcome. I just want to see PDG really push the envelope, because I think the work that you do is exemplary. And what we're seeing at the moment with the waste and recycling crisis that we're in, and C187, is the need to really treat as much as possible on site the waste that is produced by the buildings. So, you know, particularly around the biomedical industry and the sort of waste that's produced as a result of that, if you can really push the envelope about on-site treatment, I think you can not only make the biomedical pursuits that occur as part of this building precinct, but also the way that it treats waste and deals with waste on site. Further to that, I know we've got a bit coming back on the facade treatments, and again, just a question, the Green Factor tool is very new, but what it does is essentially runs itself over your entire development, looks at the plant and equipment, looks at basement levels and so on, and then it comes up with a factor in terms of greening the building, which would be a good outcome. So if you're open to running that Green Factor tool over the development, it's not binding in any way, shape or form, it's voluntary, but again, it may just lead to some good outcomes for the greening of the building as well, but overall, absolutely fantastic.
I'm seeing nods out there, Deputy Lord Mayor, so I think you've had a win there. Any further speakers for or against the motion? Or I'll just finally conclude by saying that, look, in this place we do find ourselves often in pretty robust, sometimes rugged discussions with developers, and often I don't think we say, you know, well done when required. And the fact is, this site in Elizabeth Street was originally put forward by Toyota, and it was going to be three student accommodation towers, four student accommodation towers. And, you know, gee whiz, we're seeing quite a lot of student accommodation going up around Melbourne at the moment, but people see opportunity for a dollar. But what we're now seeing here as part of stage one is Trinity College putting in their Foundation Studies Centre. That will be an important centre for Victoria's biggest export earner, international education. We now see stage two with CSL's new global headquarters being based here in Melbourne, could go to San Diego, could go to Zurich, could go anywhere, but here they are in this fantastic Cox-designed new building. It's going to be amazing. So, yeah, look forward to stage three, and well done to Vince and PDG. So, on that note, I'll put the matter to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. I declare that carried unanimously. All right, the next item before us is agenda item 6.2, That's a ministerial planning referral. It's for TPM 2019-4. It's for the property 102 to 108 Jeffcott Street and 355 to 369 and 371 to 383 Spencer Street, West Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, well, in that case, I'll call Vaughan Connor from Contour, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, and I'd invite Vaughan to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Welcome back to Town Hall, Vaughan.
Thank you, Councillor Rees and fellow councillors. Yeah, Vaughan Connor from Contour Consultants. We represent the permit applicant. This is a large site in this part of the city. It's over 3,000 square metres, and the proposal which is before the council now looks at refurbishment of existing A-graded heritage buildings for office and hotel uses, and the other main component is construction of a 23-storey building which is part of the hotel component. The overall hotel rooms, 190, and the total office floor space across the project is about 8,500 square metres. Not insignificant numbers. It's a complex proposal for a complex site. There are ancillary uses to activate the ground plane and the like, and public realm upgrades as well, in particular McDougall Place. I mean, there's a lot of detail in the officer's report. I think, in summary, having regard to the complexities of the site and the application, I think it's a very fair and balanced assessment by the planning officers. We support the assessment and the conclusion they've come to, including the conditions. There are one particular condition which deals with a need for us to interrogate further some heritage, that part of the heritage assessment. We're happy to do that. And yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for Vaughan? Councillor Pinder.
Just something that crosses my mind, Vaughan, and that is the MAP, Melbourne Assessment Prison, and the sensitivities associated with that. Has there been any consultation with them as
been.
Well?
There has been. The complex, which is under construction or due to be finished in, I think, to our north, there was an important consideration associated with the Melbourne Assessment Prison when that was going through the process. We obviously learnt from that, and our advice to the client group and others was that we need to be speaking to them. I've met with them twice. I've been to the assessment prison. I've been into the courtyard, and we are looking at different strategies in terms of responding to that condition and dealing with the issues they have, which are quite complex issues, but they are manageable.
Vaughan, I've got a question along similar lines. I've been discussing this with officers today. This development is located very close to the Remand Centre and to the Judy Lazarus Transition Centre, both key parts of the justice system. So in terms of overlooking of those two sites, and I don't profess to be an expert in any of these things, but security issues, how do you propose to deal with those?
I said it's ongoing. There's a dialogue which has started with they have a planning representative who looks after the interests of those assets. And as I said, we've visited the site. We've looked at slight line diagrams and different techniques which can be applied to the building in order to ensure reasonable amenities maintained for the hotel rooms, but we protect we manage the security-related issues, which, are quite complex. So it's manageable. We're confident we can get there with them. We're happy with the condition, and it's just going to require ongoing dialogue.
All right. Thank you very much, Vaughan. Any further questions? Thanks for addressing us this evening. Gee, my eyes are failing. There we go. That's the motion up there, 6.2. Please. Councillor Lippert has a question for Evan Council.
Thank you. It is just in relation to the further work required on heritage. I've got two questions. First of all, the delegates on page 47 of 68 has said that the planned extent of demolition of the roof is limited to the rear part of the existing rear part of the building, and so is supported. Is that a general statement, or And how is that borne out by our heritage policy, given this is an A-graded building? But secondly, how will the condition about further work operate in practice? Is this work that must be completed prior to secondary consent? Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Leppin, and thanks for bearing with us. Well, I just had a discussion with the assessing officer there. You're right, this is a very significant A-graded building and careful consideration has been undertaken. The view is that there is a need for more robust heritage evidence across the entirety of the site, and that's what the conditions within the decision require. It doesn't negate the ability for council to approve what's in front of us, subject to that further information being provided to our satisfaction prior to any development or demolition occurring on site. In terms of the allowable demolition of the rear section of roof, the policy talks to significant or the importance of considering the most significant parts of a building. In relativity and in context here, you're looking at a high degree of redevelopment of the site, and the area where demolition is being allowed is not visible from the street, would really only be visible from some of the new buildings being built surrounding it in the sky. And in order to facilitate the vast redevelopment of this site in a meaningful way, that level of demolition with suitable replacement is considered appropriate under the policy.
Thank you. We can argue for a long time about whether something's significant or not, depending on whether it's viewable. Certainly, that's more the case for B, C and D buildings in particular, but I understand the point here. It's rare for us to commission extra work like this prior to the secondary consent process. Is this because this is a ministerial permit and we'd be pushing our luck if we asked for a review of the plans ahead of that? I'm wondering what will happen if the DELP officers don't particularly like that condition, because I really think there is a lot of work to be done here to demonstrate that the best possible outcome is going to be pursued. I'm just wondering what our role will be, not us as council, but your role as City of Melbourne officers will be in that secondary consent process, and whether you've got any indication from DELP that this is something that's going to be supported.
I think Vaughan wants to make a contribution at this point. Welcome to go to the lectern, Vaughan, so we can hear you.
I was just going to add that draft condition 8 refers to demolition and heritage conservation, and it talks about prior to commencement of the development, including demolition, the detailed heritage conservation plan must be submitted to and approved by the responsible authority, which in this case is the minister, in consultation with the City of Melbourne. So the City of Melbourne are tied into dealing with that condition, and we have no problem with that.
Does that satisfy you, Councillor Leppin? Evan, do you want to add anything further at this stage? Okay. All right, well, if there's no further questions for officers or Vaughan, I will move a motion which is appearing there on your screen, on the screen, and look to a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I will speak briefly to this one. This is a $56 million proposal that we are considering for a very significant mixed-use development at the west end of the city. It is a proposal that we are considering that is occurring in a mixed-use zone, very much in keeping with what is envisaged for West Melbourne under the West Melbourne Structure Plan. There is, not surprisingly, a heritage overlay on this site, and there is the design and development overlay 12 that applies. This site has quite a remarkable history for the city. Of course, it was the site of the Sands and MacDougall publishing business, who from the 1850s in Australia published city directories, a business which I think many councillors will be familiar with in Adelaide and Sydney and Melbourne. And of course, those city directories that were published by Sands and MacDougall have become an incredibly valuable resource for people who value heritage, because they listed all the businesses, all the people, all the government agencies and all the organisations that existed in Melbourne going all the way back to the 1850s. And so it is appropriate, I think, that we are considering a development proposal this evening on this valuable heritage site, which I certainly agree with officers is highly responsive to the heritage context in which it is occurring. That part of Spencer Street, I really do love. The industrial brick of the factories around there has just a great feel, and it really is a special part of Melbourne, which I think is coming back into vogue in a very big way as people are rediscovering and redeveloping those old heritage, industrial heritage sites, and doing them in a way which is respectful for that industrial heritage. I should touch upon the height of this proposal. It does come in at 72.75 metres, which is a variation of some 32.75 metres above the height requirement envisaged by DDO 33. But as the officer's report points out, there are a number of very significant mitigating factors. The first is that not 10 metres away, there is an existing, currently under construction, I believe, 85.6 metre tall tower, which obviously has an impact on the immediate urban context. Secondly, and probably just as importantly, the proposed development that we're considering is associated with a broader site that is occupied by several heritage buildings, and we're considering here is a tower that consolidates the development in one location, and that in turn has the effect of minimising the impact across the whole site and the individually significant heritage buildings. Finally, as the officers do note, and I think significant as well, the overall floor area ratio for the site is 6.2 to 1, which is generally consistent with the floor area ratio for the Flagstaff and West Melbourne precinct of 6 to 1. So, all things considered, I think the recommendation of officers should be accepted in this case, and I'm happy to support the motion on the screen. Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to support it on balance, but there's a few things I'm very concerned about. Obviously, the height's okay. I mean, we prefer a 40 metre limit in this area, but Mr. Skyscraper approved 80 metres plus on the neighbouring property in 2012, so that set the precedent for the area, and we need to be responsive to that. It would be unfair to be limiting the development potential given that the properties on Batman Street have already doubled the development limit in 2012, and so this is a balanced response in terms of the overall building envelope. I'm concerned about the impact on the heritage fabric. There are actually a few elements that I really like about this. I think that it's obvious that the internal sky bridge, or whatever we're like going to call it, is not part of the heritage building or mimicking it. It is providing a pretty clear juxtaposition to what's currently there with the new built form. I think it's interesting, it's unusual, and it's not doing the wrong thing by the heritage building, but there are other aspects that I'm more worried about. So the rooftop is supported on balance, page 47 of 68. The council's heritage policy is cited there. says that we discourage the removal of original parts of A-graded heritage buildings. That's correct. It goes on to say that the front parts of C and D graded buildings will generally not be supported to be demolished, but the extent to which the policy talks about visible and not visible parts of heritage buildings is mostly limited to that concept on my reading. Happy to be told I'm wrong after the meeting. Evan will always do that. But I think that we're putting a lot of weight on the list in the demolition part of our heritage policy and not quite enough on the header paragraph, which is quite clear that demolishing or removing original parts of buildings will not normally be permitted in the case of A-graded buildings. And then, of course, there's more discretion when there's contributory buildings. So it's there are aspects I like and there are aspects I don't like. And I think the heritage consultants that has provided advice to us is right on 4 out of 5 takes, and I think our delegate is certainly right on balance as well. But I just wanted to issue a word of caution around that this is borderline for me because of the impact of the roof of the A-graded building, but I support it on balance.
I feel like quoting a Meatloaf song. Don't be sad, 4 out of 5 ain't bad. Are there any other speakers for or against this proposal? Deputy Lord Mayor, you're looking inspired.
I'm not sure where to go there, Councillor Rees. No more history lessons, I can assure you. I agree with Councillor Leppard on this one. I think, on balance, that there is a good outcome for the heritage considerations, but I won't say it's... I won't laud it, I guess, is probably what I'd say. So happy to support this on balance. I agree that the precedent with height is not ideal, and when we consider that at one stage or another that we will get a decking solution over those rail yards, and then you have to look at the height in Docklands as well, I'd hate to see this precedent that's been set impact on those sort of height limits as you head towards Docklands. And then the other consideration, which probably gets to Councillor Oakes' point about our previous application, is yes, there is a lot going on down at Spencer Street in West Melbourne, and some of the development there is excellent, but what this, I think, in the wider context says to me is, you know, the traffic management plans for these considerable developments are going to be really important. The mixed use of this development is fantastic. It's exactly the sort of thing that we want to see down there. But Spencer Street's a basket case as it stands, with the Westgate Tunnel dumping a whole lot more traffic into Dudley Street. My concern is, you know, with the tram stopping just after La Trobe, what we want to really see here is these developments are going to have to go really hard on alternative forms of transport, because private vehicles just aren't going to cut it in these areas. And indeed, what it also says to me is that the West Melbourne Structure Plan needs to be implemented as quickly as possible, because we're putting a whole heap of new accommodation down that end, which is absolutely fantastic. And yes, the city centre is moving to Spencer Street in terms of the centre of the city as Docklands moves further down as well. But what we don't want to do is put people in some great buildings and then have Spencer Street not really servicing the community requirements or needs. The other consideration that we need down there is we do need community facilities to be part of the equation as well, because a lot of residential population is now moving to that end of town where we're under-resourced in terms of community facilities, you know, childcare and so on. So there's a lot of consideration in terms of the wider context as we see this development occurring.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Are there any other speakers for or against the motion? Councillor Watts.
Just very briefly to say, I'm not sure what we can require or even... well, just to raise the idea, that's all, that it's a very important historic buildings around there. And can we not incorporate some kind of information around this building within the design internally? I'm not sure. So I'm going to leave that with you, another one of my aspirations. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Any other speakers for or against? All right, in that case, I will put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. And I am declaring that carried unanimously. I now call on the Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, to resume the role of Chair for the remainder of the meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Well, this concludes our reports from management for consideration this evening. There are no items, councillors, of general business to be considered. But, councillors, are there any urgent items for consideration? No. Okay. Well, we now get back to question time. We've got 15 minutes that we allot at the end of the meeting as well. If anybody has a question, if they could raise their hand now, that would be terrific. None? All right. Well, thank you. That leaves me to say thank you very much to the members of the public for coming along and attending this evening. To our staff, thank you as always. And to councillors, our meeting is over and I'm declaring it over at 6:36 p.m. Thank you very much.